that, oh, Bayern have signed a special player. Surprise, it's you.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. The summer transfer window has been open for a month, but Bayern Munich still haven't confirmed any moves. Nevertheless, the Bavarians have enjoyed a fine preseason so far, and Niko Kovac and his players will play their first competitive match of the 2019-20 season on Saturday, facing off against fierce rivals Borussia Dortmund in the 2019 DFL Super Cup. We're here to look ahead at what should be a great game and discuss why Bayern's executive staff can't seem to get their act together with the media. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hey, everyone. Remember when the summer was supposed to be really exciting and stuff? Those were good times, right?
Yeah, don't we all? Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And, of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi, great to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. It is great to be back. There's still no transfer news, nothing to talk about there. So as much as I want to bring up Leroy Sané, I'll show some self-control and we won't be talking about him today. Instead, I want to look back at Bayern's preseason so far. Of course, there's still one more game going on right now against Tottenham, but Bayern have had what I would consider a pretty good preseason, at least from the little bit we've been able to see. Garrett, they played a few games in the United States. They were pretty late for our friends over in Europe, but we were able to watch some of it. How do you think the team's looking based on those few matches?
Not terrible. I mean, I think it's been good to see them kind of round into match fitness, and obviously it's really hard to get too much from preseason matches, but I think you're in the same mind as I am in that Arp has looked pretty solid. I mean, for as young as he is and for as relatively inexperienced he is, he's looked like he could be a solid piece going forward this season, and then we've seen Davies play on the left back a little bit, which has been kind of interesting. He looks like he's got the athleticism to at least keep up and make up for the mistakes that he's inevitably going to make, but so that's something to watch for. And as they finish up their preseason today against Tottenham, it'll be interesting to see if there are any other players that kind of pop out as depth guys. Because there's still time, obviously, to get more players in the transfer market. But there could be a few more youth names and a few more in-house names that have to come on to the Bayern first team for depth, and so it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Yeah, you brought up something that I was going to talk about, and that's Alphonso Davies. I think has looked really good as a left back. At least he's shown signs that if he was to be converted from more of a winger to a fullback, that it's something that he could do, you know, reasonably well. That may even become his main position. Sebastian, have you been able to watch any of the preseason matches so far or anything?
I have been looking into it a little bit, but I haven't really been able to watch whole games and watch them with the same concentration I usually have when I watch Bundesliga or Champions League games. I guess I'm just a bit out of it for the moment, at least in terms of actually watching them with full concentration. But I think there are a couple of interesting takeaways, and I think Davies definitely is one of those. I just hope that it's not our excuse for not getting an actual fullback. That would be very sad, because that would mean having one fewer player on the squad, and especially having one fewer body on defense. And I just don't think that would be great. But apart from that, I think having Davies as a fullback could be great for us, and I think he has the talent to make that work. And I would love that. And also Arp, of course. You've also Garrett, you've also mentioned Arp. I think that's a success story so far. And yeah, my hopes for him have pretty much increased since when we talked about this transfer the last time. So I'm very hopeful for the guy. And of course, I also want to mention Sanchez. I think he's also looking very good. We need to be a bit cautious here, I guess, because things were also looking quite good for him last season at this point. And I think I just like 10 minutes ago read this little interview with him, or this little quote at least, where he said basically the same thing. The coach told me last time that he would give me a lot of time to play and whatnot. And so, yeah, I sincerely hope that Kovac is serious about that, and the thing that happened last season is not going to happen again, because I think he's really looking good.
I think on Sanchez, it's at least good that he's showing some consistency, right? I mean, I think that's, if nothing else, you know, you can look at it and say, well, it's preseason, and so we do need to keep that in mind. But the very fact that he's seems to be continuing the good form that he showed last season is just kind of confirmation that he seems to be kind of back on track a little bit, at least to the type of prospect and potential player that he's going to be. And so that is exciting and something worth watching.
And I kind of like that he's speaking out to the media, because it kind of shows that, you know, he's decided to stay at Bayern this summer rather than going elsewhere. He was talked into staying at Bayern, basically. And he's just kind of letting Kovac and whoever, you know, needs to know that he's not staying just to ride the bench one more season. Essentially, this is like the last chance for them to get it right with him. And, I've got high hopes again this season. Of course, I had him going into last season. So hopefully he gets more game time. Tim, I know you watched yesterday's game. When Bayern won 6-1, courtesy of a Thomas Müller hat trick, how did we look? How do you think the team is looking, you know, given that this is just a preseason match?
They looked energetic. They looked hungry. They looked quick. I saw like a few clips. I didn't watch any of the games that they played in America, obviously, because it was at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a good boy and I go to sleep on time. But I've seen like various highlights, and you can see that Bayern are trying to like move the ball up the pitch at pace, which is something that I think we've kind of lacked a little bit over the. There were like elements of it being play being very slow last season, and especially the season before. Seeing Bayern move the ball, move it quickly, and be really direct as a very welcome change. I don't know if it was just like, you know, it's kind of the thing of like, lads, it's Fenerbahce. Like, it's hard to gauge whether or not that is like a real test for them. But they've got some good players. Like, Victor Moses, as recently as a couple of seasons ago, was a key player for Chelsea. Max Kruse isn't exactly a bad footballer. Like, they've got players that can do well. And so I think this is, like, what we saw yesterday was... it was a matter of Bayern being hungry and not settling. Like I've kind of mentioned it before about this whole principle that you have in cricket, where you can go out, you can get as many runs as you want, and then you think, okay, that'll do us. And I've kind of said that Bayern have been like that in like the past. So seeing Bayern get a goal, get another one, and keep on pressing, like really aggressively pressing, is very good to see. I'm currently watching them play against Tottenham now, and okay, the team is predominantly young players, but it's largely the same. It's quick movement and an eagerness to get the ball back as soon as possible.
Do you think that directness in the play is more so on the players and them having their energy levels up, or do you think it looks like something that maybe Kovac has drilled into them? It's something that he wants to really kind of make part of the Bayern identity for this season?
I think it's probably both. Obviously, this is preseason, so there isn't like a real... There's no impetus to like give it everything, so they're not going to be... you know, playing at like 60% energy each game, they're gonna have stuff left in the tank. But it's kind of reminiscent of like key games in the second half of last season, like Frankfurt, where Bayern just kept on scoring, against Dortmund, where Bayern kept on scoring, against Wolfsburg, against Gladbach. This is a team that can move the ball really, really well and get into dangerous areas. I think it's going to be an element of Bayern want to show everybody, okay, the mistakes that were made last year were mistakes that happened last year. This is a new season. We're all ready to play, and we all want to win. And it's honestly great to see.
Well, one final question, looking back at the preseason, and this is, I guess, open for anyone, but is there, based on the games that you've seen, is there any particular area of the squad that you definitely feels needs a little bit of work, whether that's, you know, maybe another transfer brought in, maybe they just need to train a little bit harder at a certain thing? Is there anything that's stood out to any one of you?
I think that if Kovac's preferred formation is 4-3-3, like he mentioned, then Bayern are going to need to figure out how to find a lone six. I know Sebastian was pretty vocal about it last year, and we didn't really see too many good showings, at least, of Thiago playing that lone six position. And so while I feel like we have to keep him on the pitch because of how good he is, if they want to play a 4-3-3, they're going to have to find someone for that defensive midfield position that will kind of do the things that they're wanting to do. Maybe that's Javi Martinez and just the fact that he hasn't been playing a whole lot this preseason isn't really indicative of what's going to be happening going forward. But that might be an area of concern, just because, again, injuries are going to happen. And if you have you don't really have too many players that you feel real comfortable in the lone six position, then that could cause problems as far as what you're wanting to do. So that would be really the only major spot. I mean, I think that our depth at fullback is going to be an issue if they don't bring anybody in. And as good as Arp has looked, depth at the striker position would be kind of nice as well. And then obviously the winger stuff, but I'll leave that to someone else.
Yeah, that's very true. I think it's really about the depth, and that's just not what you're going to see in those matches, because you either see players which are obviously starting guys and they play like starting guys, or you see players who are obviously more youth players or people who usually come from the bench. And if you evaluate them as what they are, there's really no problem. It's just that the numbers don't quite add up. There need to be a couple more players of the elite quality, so to speak. And I guess that's really just it. There are really no more players on this squad about which I would think, okay, we need to lose this guy. There's a problem here, really. I don't think we have that kind of problem. It's just that the numbers are not quite right yet. And I guess I want to add that I think, yeah, maybe Tolisso can be that guy too, but I would have liked to see more of that. Maybe we will see more of that in the Super Cup. We're going to have to wait, I guess.
Well, yeah, and that gives us a perfect transition. You're exactly right. I guess a lot of our potential questions might be answered this weekend. So Saturday, Bayern Munich traveled to Borussia Dortmund for their first, kind of their first big match of the season. Obviously, the Super Cup isn't the biggest title in Germany, but anytime Bayern are playing Borussia Dortmund, you know it's going to be a good match. So before we look at the game as a whole, I want to talk about Dortmund for a second, because they've had a pretty busy summer. They got a lot of their business done early, of course, but they have made several moves. So looking at the squad, just kind of on paper, would you agree with what some are saying, that Dortmund's squad is stronger than Bayern's is, Tim?
In terms of depth, yeah, but I really don't know, because this team isn't like the team that Bayern are likely to put out on Saturday isn't completely different to the team that Bayern would put out like last season against Dortmund. Okay, there's no Ribery and Robin. That's whatever. But it's not really, in terms of like genuine quality, they've got good players. They've got Thorgan Hazard, Julian Brandt. They've now got Mats Hummels. That's probably like the biggest, maybe like the biggest thing is the fact that they now have somebody in defence that isn't, you know, isn't going to be intimidated by Lewandowski running them down. Like in the last game that we saw against Dortmund, when you had Lewandowski going up against against Zagadou, that there was kind of this clear, not necessarily a naivety, but there wasn't the experience in their defence. That's probably really the only thing that's changed. And I guess, like, in terms of who they can bring in later on, yeah, they have that advantage. But in terms of the teams that are going to be starting, I really don't think it's that, it's like, it's not really that night and day.
All right, so Sebastian, Garrett, would either of you argue that Borussia Dortmund have the stronger squad than Bayern Munich at the moment?
I pretty much agree with what Tim said there. It's really about the depth. It's basically two different questions. If you ask me who's got the better starting 11, I'm going to have to go with Bayern. If you're asking me who's probably going to get through a season better, that's probably, from what we have on the squad now, that's probably Borussia Dortmund. Because 21 players is just not going to cut it. I mean, Borussia Dortmund has right now more than 50% more players on the squad than Bayern has. It's 21 against 33. So, yeah, that's just not a fair comparison, I think. But really, I would still think Bayern has the better squad. And, yeah, with a bit of a margin there, I think. Dortmund just doesn't have these top quality players in nearly every position. They have very good players, very good Bundesliga players who are going to get might going to get you far in the Champions League, but it's not that they are all the absolute top shelf players. So I think, yeah, Bayern still is ahead in that respect. But Dortmund is going in a good direction, and this might very well change in the next couple of years if Dortmund is keeping up the good work.
I just think personally that the only way, I mean, I think Bayern have a better squad, but I do think that a lot of it's going to depend on Jadon Sancho, how he progresses. Because if he takes that next step and continues to develop like he developed in the previous year, then it's going to be harder to see Bayern be the more talented squad, just because he's really taken some steps over the last year and a half. I think the big thing for Dortmund, though, is that, I mean, getting Hummels will be nice for them, because it will kind of give them some stability in the back, and that was kind of an issue near the end of the year for them. But like the other guy said, I just think that Bayern didn't really lose a whole lot in terms of their starting 11. And if we look at how Neuer's played in the preseason and see that he seems to be finding some of that pre-injury form again, it's going to be really difficult to argue that Bayern aren't the better starting 11. But yeah, definitely the depth wise, it's a little bit more in Dortmund's favor, but Bayern still are stronger in the starting 11, I believe.
I guess it should kind of be a warning sign for Bayern that we even have to have this discussion right now, that it's even close.
Yep.
But anyway, we'll go ahead and look at Saturday's match coming up. Have to ask the all-important question. On Saturday, if you're Niko Kovac, do you go with the 4-3-3 that you've been using all preseason, or stick with the 4-2-3-1 that worked best for us last season? And who do you fill in at those positions? And we'll go ahead and start with you, Sebastian.
First and foremost, I would say that Niko Kovac should definitely stick with what he has been using in the preseason, because if he would now go back to to the formation we played last year, that would be, for me, that would be the first sign of this fear creeping back in again. And that's something I definitely don't want to see. And especially not in the Super Cup. So this just, he just needs to have the confidence and stick with what he believes in. I'd rather he would believe in a different formation, but yeah, 4-3-3 I think is a good formation still, and it's might be better than what we had last year. But we, of course, already talked about the problem on the six. But anyway, let's talk about that when I get there. Of course, I would start Neuer. I guess there's no discussion there. Defense is a bit more interesting, I guess. I would definitely have Alaba and Kimmich as our fullbacks. And yeah, then it gets interesting. I don't think Lucas Hernandez is going to be ready, of course. And I'm not ready to completely rely on Pavard. So I guess, Süle and Boateng is the safe bet here. And I think that that's what Kovac going to do. And I think it's the right decision. I'm not quite sure about Javi Martinez's situation. I read something today, but it seemed like there was no clear info if he's ready for Saturday. I'm not quite sure about that. So I guess that leaves us with trying Corentin Tolisso at this position, and I think that's a good idea. So I guess I would do that. I would play Corentin Tolisso on the six, and then Sanchez and Thiago around him. That's what I would like to see. Then I think I actually would put Thomas Müller on the left side for now. I don't like that. I mean, on the offense. I don't totally like that. I would like to have a real winger there. But I guess Thomas Müller is the guy we need to worry about when we play 4-3-3. So if we're going to have Thomas Müller on the squad, it's going to be on either the left side or on the right side on offense. So I would use Thomas Müller there. Cesc Gnabry on the right and Lewandowski in the middle.
So Tim and Garrett, would either of you argue that we should play a more 4-2-3-1 over a 4-3-3? I assume that's a no.
I don't really think so. I mean, I think that the Super Cup is, I mean, I definitely want them to go for the win for it, obviously, because it's, I mean, silverware, but I think that you keep doing what you've been doing in the preseason, which seems to be going for this this system. I mean, you've been under Kovac for a year now, and if this is the way he wants to play, then you have to start it sometime. You have to rely on it and kind of make that your preferred formation. And so, why not in the Super Cup put a strong ish lineup out. I don't know that I would start Gnabry, even though like I know that they said it's kind of a minor muscle tweak that he had yesterday being Tuesday. But for the Super Cup, I think that there's enough strength in the Bayern squad to put Thomas Müller out on the right, and you could do put Coman or even Davies on the left and be in decent shape. I guess I don't know. I think I would play Goretzka instead of Sanchez as well. But again, I can deal with Sanchez playing because again I think that he obviously needs the playing time and that would be a good spot for him as well. But I think that I pretty much agree with the lineup that Sebastian rolled out there, other than those exceptions that I mentioned. I think that Bayern have enough depth at those positions in the 4-3-3 to be able to rest some of the players that are dealing with, you know, minor knocks and tweaks to, you know, various muscles and whatnot, and still have a strong enough squad to win the Super Cup. So I say go for it.
I guess I have elements of agreement with both of you guys. I would start Müller on the right and Coman on the left for the same reason you said, Garrett. I don't feel like it's a good time to risk Gnabry if he's struggling with muscle issues. especially considering we don't have another backup winger besides Alphonso Davies. At the back, I think I'd actually start Pavard alongside Sula. I wanted to bring this up earlier talking about the preseason. I think Benjamin Pavard has been one of our standout players. At least he was in the United States, one of the standout players, one of the big surprises for many. That being said, Jerome Boateng looked very good as well. So I'd give Pavard the start, let him get a good feel of what it is to be part of Bayern. But I don't guess I'd be too upset with Boateng starting instead of him. And then, yeah, I really struggle in the midfield. I think Thiago and Tolisso are the two must starts. I can see Thiago playing at the six. I know, Sebastian, you don't love that, but to me, he's kind of a Xabi Alonso type six with a lot more mobility and honestly, probably a little bit better in defense. And I think Niko Kovac is really relying on him in that position going forward. Personally, I'd prefer Tolisso there, but he's also a major offensive threat himself. So put Goretzka or Sanchez or even Thomas Muller if Gnabry was fit in that midfield three with him, and it'd be looking really good. Maybe have a Martinez if you want some defensive stability because we will be playing away from home. But if I had to choose, I'd probably go Goretzka alongside Thiago and Tolisso because that's a lot of versatility and dynamism in that midfield, and they can all fill in for one another and rotate. So that's where I'd be looking. I'm not going to go with Fita Arp up front or anything crazy like that. We leave that for Tim, of course, who's always got the ideas out of left field. So what you got for us?
Starting right back, we're going to get Rafinha back on my... yeah, no, cannot do that anymore. I think
you need to find a new Rafinha. You need to find that new guy you're always going to throw at us, no matter what.
He's irreplaceable. There's only one Rafinha. I think, like, we've all kind of hinted at it, like, if Gnabry is fit, then, yeah, 4-3-3 all the way. At the moment, it doesn't look like it, so I've got no problems with, like, Müller starting on the right, providing there's, like, someone in the middle with him. Because I think, like, when he's out on the right, kind of by himself, then that's kind of where he struggles, because his, like, part of his whole thing is he works best off of other people. So yeah, I think it really all does kind of depend on whether or not Gnabry is going to be fit or not. If he is, then yeah, 4-3-3, and I would probably actually put out the team that played yesterday. I think what we saw was fantastic. Like, then again, like, Thomas Müller played on the right and got a hat trick. So who knows? Granted, Fenerbahce aren't Dortmund, or Dortmund aren't Fenerbahce, more accurately. I've really enjoyed seeing that midfield trio of Thiago, Goretzka, and Sanchez. And Tolisso's been playing quite well so far in this half. He's got a very commanding presence. So maybe have him on the six and put Thiago as the 10. And then Sanchez, I think regardless of what happens, I would like to see Sanchez start. I think this would be a really great game for him. He played brilliantly yesterday. I imagine he's going to play the second half of this game. So I would really like to see him get some time. In defence, kind of weirdly, I think Nicolas Sula has been, not, I don't want to say bad. He's not been anywhere near his normal self. He had a number of mistakes against Arsenal, which is not good. It's really not good. He's very nearly scored an own goal just now. He's not been at it. But then again, it's pre-season. He doesn't necessarily have to be at it. But I would very much like for him to be at his top level. So I would start him because I know what he is capable of, but if I had somebody slightly more reliable, like if Boateng had finished last season on a big, big positive, then I would put him and Pavard in defence. But yeah, I would start a back line of Kimmich, Sula, Boateng and Alaba.
Do you think that Bayern should be going 100% all out for the win in this match, Sebastian?
Talking about the Super Cup, Obviously, yes. Why wouldn't you? Of course.
Yeah, I just didn't know if maybe anyone thought they should maybe rein it in, save some of the players from getting injured, considering that we have less than 20.
I don't think there's too high of an injury risk in that game anyway. I mean, you can play with full force without getting all those fouls in there. I think it's going to be a fair match, and I don't think there's too much of a risk there. You should really try to win that game, of course.
Gotcha. Well, Garrett, considering how both teams will be battling for the Bundesliga title this season, how big do you think this match could be, like, in terms of a confidence boost or even a put down? Psychologically, what do you think a win or a loss could do for either team here?
I mean, I think based on last season, I don't know, because Bayern started so poorly last year. Well, I say started, but I mean, you know, the first half of the season didn't go very well at all for Bayern, and to still be able to win the league, I think that the Super Cup being first real competitive match, I don't know that Bayern is in much risk of losing a whole lot of confidence by being beaten in the Super Cup. That being said, I do think that maybe a little bit for Dortmund, it could be a little bit of a mental block if they come out and get hammered or something like that, and then just kind of reiterating to them, you know, where they stand next to Bayern. I know that they'll look at this kind of as a measuring stick in a lot of ways. But being that it is the first real competitive match, yesterday's match against Fenerbahce notwithstanding, I think that I don't know how much you can really gather from it other than, you know, it's a long season, and as nice as it is to raise the silverware or not, I don't know how much it'll really weigh into the rest of the year.
Well, no matter what, it's a game that neither team wants to lose, and both teams will really want to win. So if nothing else, it should be exciting and at least fun to watch. So before we wrap it up, there's one more thing we need to talk about. There's been lots of conflicting public statements among the executives at Bayern right now. So, you know, Uli Hoeneß, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Niko Kovac, Hasan Salihamidzic. So, for example, Niko Kovac publicly, I guess a little less than a week ago, said that he was confident Bayern could get Leroy Sané. And then Karl-Heinz Rummenigge publicly reprimanded Kovac for saying that, and in turn made him apologize essentially to Manchester City for his comments. And that would be, you know, okay and acceptable if Rummenigge, Hoeneß, Bratzo, if they had all been keeping their comments to themselves all summer. But it's kind of strange, hypocritical even, after all of those guys have been very, very vocal about Leroy Sané all summer long. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Of course, there's the whole Uli Hoeneß could be retiring soon, and no one knowing about that. A lot of weird stuff going on. Tim, could this maybe be a sign that there's some sort of turmoil going on behind the scenes with the Bayern executives?
I wouldn't call it turmoil. I think it's this is Niko Kovac's first time working at a club that is constantly in the spotlight. Like he's taken a big step from Eintracht Frankfurt to, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world. So I don't know if it's like a matter of like teething issues or everybody is just saying, you know what, we'll do what we want. We'll say what we want, when we want, to who we want. And it's kind of backfired. I think like an element of it is, you know, Kovac is kind of new to this whole thing of, you know, having to constantly talk about or constantly be asked about various things. I have got no idea what is happening with this transfer. There's reports of like Christian Falk is saying, no, don't worry, everything's going okay. And then there's reports of some doctor or like some friend of Dr. Müller-Wohlfahrt who's saying, yeah, no, Sané's doing his medical right now. And then somebody says that's not true. all of a sudden this guy deletes his Twitter account. Then like Uli Hoeneß is saying, oh yeah, don't worry, like we've got everything under control. And then there's nothing. And then Rummenigge is saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Everything about it just like completely contradicts the thing that's come before. And it's so confusing. I don't know if it's on purpose. It probably isn't. I don't think you can mastermind this level of, I don't even know what to call it. But there's a documentary by a guy called Adam Curtis that talks about how, I don't want to get into politics here, but news in America and in the UK, maybe in other parts of the world, essentially people who, like PR agencies, will regularly give out conflicting reports because it means that nobody has any idea of what's going on at any point. So who knows what's true? Like, who knows whether, like, is Sané even, is Sané even considering going to Bayern? Is this him just trying to get, a contract extension or, like, an improved contract? There are obviously problems with the fact that, you know, Rummenigge is saying, yeah, we can't do that. Like, I'm very unhappy that Kovac has said this. But then it's the whole thing of, like, oh, just a public announcement. We're not going to be making any public announcements about this person. Like, the fact that the official Twitter accounts are saying, oh, by the way, we're not going to be making any more comments on Leroy Sané until something has to be commented. What? That's so backwards. I don't understand this. It's so confusing. I'm loving it from an outsider's perspective. But as somebody that is really, really excited about this transfer, my goodness, it's frustrating.
I guess what I especially don't get is how you're gonna make Kovac basically apologize via an interview yourself. Why are you doing that? First and foremost, if you are not going to accept when Kovac is doing something like what he did there, there should be rules for that, right? Kovac should know that he's doing something wrong, right? And it didn't seem like that. It seemed like he had no idea that he was not supposed to talk about that. And that's a problem in the first place, I think. And if he says something you really feel he should apologize for, shouldn't you go to Niko Kovac first and tell him backstage, kind of, where no media is listening, listen, man, you knew the rules. You cannot say that. Please go to Guardiola and say sorry, and probably also tell the media. That's going to make everyone look much better than it is looking now, right? So I really, really don't get that. I mean, if your policy is not being as outspoken to the media as you have been, why do that through the media? Yeah. It just doesn't add up for me.
Brazo's saying it's important we don't speak about other players of other clubs. We won't discuss the matter publicly anymore. It is important that we have respect for the club, the owners, the CEO, and the coach of Manchester City. When all summer we've been hearing, oh, we'd love to have him. It'd be great if he would sign with us. If he decides he wants to sign with us, we'll make a way to happen. Like, I don't understand what the difference between that is and, oh, I think that we'll sign him. I think that, like, I don't get what really is the difference. Is it just who's saying it? Because I feel like even Niko Kovac just said earlier in the year or earlier this summer that, like, oh, we'd love to have him on our team. If he wants to be here, we'd love to have him. Like, how is that a whole lot different? I really don't understand it. And it's almost like, I don't know if there's this attempt to try to put him in his place and make sure that he knows. I don't know. And it seems like they have a united front when it comes to, oh, we're all on the same page. We all agree. We know how this all works. But like you said, Sebastian, to publicly tell him, well, he needs to apologize. Okay. Why are you telling an interview that instead of telling him that? And then it would look a lot better coming from him if he came out and said, hey, I'd just like to say, you know, sorry for making comments about being optimistic about signing him. I know he's not our player. I shouldn't be saying it. You know, it would mean a lot more than, like, oh, he should apologize. And then Kovac coming out and saying, yeah, okay, I apologize, but it's still true. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. For me, I guess it looks more like, or it looks like they've realized maybe telling every single person across the globe exactly what we want to do in the transfer market and consistently talking about a player who isn't ours might not be the best transfer strategy. It barely worked with Lucas Hernandez. It didn't work when they talked about Frankie de Jong and Matias de Ligt back in the winter. Didn't work for Callum Hudson-Odoi. So far hasn't worked for Leroy Sané, so maybe they were like, yeah, okay, we shouldn't be so vocal. And I guess forgot to let Niko Kovac know that, you know, he's not allowed to make those statements, or Karl-Heinz Rummenigge is going to go tell the media he's not allowed to make those statements. It's all very, very confusing. And if we're being honest, probably a bit embarrassing for the club. Like, we've
for sure
turned into what we always used to pride ourselves in not being. And I guess that's one of the most disappointing parts.
It's like in the last few months, Bayern have suddenly got a reputation for being like really brash and arrogant. Like, we've always had that whole reputation of being arrogant. Like, the whole, that it's like your hatred is our pride. I can't remember what the phrase is in German, but like, that's like one of the phrases of one of the fan clubs. I can't remember what it is. And, but our reputation of like being able to just conduct business really quickly and very quietly. Like, I don't think Sanchez was rumored to go to Bayern once. And then all of a sudden, hey, we've signed Hummels. Oh, by the way, we've also got Renato Sanchez, that really well, like that really highly regarded footballer that a lot of people want. And surprise, we've signed him for 50 million less than what everybody thought he was going to go for. Like, in the matter of months, Bayern have managed to undo that very quickly by it's very difficult to say this is the person that's responsible for this. However, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I think what Salihamidzic has done with Callum Hudson-Odoi is just vastly different from anything that we ever saw Matheus Sammer do, Christian Nerlinger do. The only rumour that Nerlinger really broke is the rumour that, oh, Bayern have signed a special player. Surprise, it's you. That was maybe like the worst. That was an embarrassment. That was a really massive embarrassment. But we had never done that before, where we said, yeah, we're going to go for this player. Yeah, we're going to talk to this guy. Like, when did that change? Like, when did that policy change? I've got absolutely no idea how that has become acceptable. And then all of a sudden, Salihamidzic is now berating Kovac to say, oh, that's not the way we do things at Bayern. Since when? You have been operating in a completely different way. Oh, does my head in.
You're not talking like ancient history either. I mean, it's not like the Renato Sanchez transfer was something that happened pre-social media, when everything was, you know, quick and, you know, all these rumors and all these news stories pouring in. I mean, this isn't that long ago. So it's just drastic going from that to this, and having this weird, I guess, you know, you always kind of thought that there was a little bit of butting heads when it came to Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and Uli Hoeneß, but they still seemed like they were united front. You know, you knew that they had different opinions. You knew that they kind of butted heads, but they knew how to get it together. Now it really feels like it's, you know, Hoeneß is leaving, but he didn't let anybody know that he was leaving until just pretty sudden, and then now he's already picked his successor and Rummenigge is leaving, and they both kind of talk to Salihamidzic, but nobody talks to Kovac apparently, but they're totally behind him. But how dare he not know how this works? And it's just weird. And it's very almost like keeping, I don't know if they looked at the numbers and saw that Bayern were being talked about more when everybody was talking about whether Niko Kovac's job was in jeopardy, and they were like, "Oh, this is good publicity." Any, you know, that whole "any publicity is good publicity" type thing. But I don't. It's just so bizarre and so vastly different from the Bayern that I've known over my short time as a soccer fan, let alone the history of the club, which is, it's just bizarre.
Hopefully we can wrap up the remaining deals we have, you know, in the summer transfer window, whoever that might be, Leroy Sané or whatever, without any issue. And good grief, hopefully the executive board can get their act together. But that's going to put a wrap on this episode. If you're a fan of the podcast or if you've enjoyed listening today, do us a big favor and leave us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate it, and it helps us grow and get better so we can be sure to bring you the best content week after week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can keep up to date with us there and get in touch with us there. You can also email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast catchers. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.